your good health. Food, drink, exercise, recipes, all sprinkled with common sense. Welcome to the KVOE studios. Emporia State Health and Human Performance Professor, Dr. Jennifer Thomas.
Dr. Jen, how are you?
I love hearing summer officially starts on what, Wednesday
morning, yeah.
And I'm like, we're 4 weeks in. What is that all about?
It's felt like summer quite a while, hasn't it?
It has. That's never made sense to me, that the season doesn't actually begin till mid-June.
But well, now the heat can really come.
Yes, it's gonna. I don't like it.
We've been pretty fortunate, though, weather-wise. I think a lot of people have experienced a lot of pretty nasty stuff been going on.
Yeah, I've been following. I have a friend that lives down near Baton Rouge, and I'm like, oh, gosh, that's scary. It seems like the South just gets what we used to get when I was growing up, you know?
Yeah, I noticed the switch, yeah.
Yeah, so scary.
Yeah, Texas, been hard hit here. It seems like the last 2 weeks ongoing, and Oklahoma, boy. So we're keep our fingers crossed we can tiptoe around that.
Right, absolutely.
You know, here during the summer months, the heat is on. So how are things going with you?
Going well. Good. Teaching my online graduate course, and it's such a nice change. I know I've talked about that before, but it's just a shift that's different from teaching undergraduates in the classroom to teaching master's level students online. These are all health and physical education professionals who want to keep their, you know, ability, certification, stay up to date, and I really, really enjoy it. It surprised me. I started about 7 years ago teaching that way and that content, and I really enjoy it. It's just a nice change, and then I get July off for the first time since 2016.
What?
I know.
What are you going to do with yourself?
I'm going to clean.
Wow. Way to enjoy yourself.
I know. Yeah. I'm going all out. I need to go through some stuff that, you know, you just put off, don't have time to get to that or whatever. So I'm just going to get caught up on some stuff. Yeah.
There it is. So is that relaxing to you in some sort of way?
Absolutely.
It is?
Therapeutic.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm going to do some fun stuff, too, but that's on my list.
You're wondering, where's that tie in?
It's the sleepy music. It absolutely was a little familiar.
Yeah. We're wondering, how does that tie in with anything we're doing here?
Right? Oh, our topic.
It is napping.
Yep.
Yeah, and nothing wrong with that, is there?
There is not. And it dawned on me when I went to send you a topic last week. I was like, you know, we've talked about sleep hygiene before for sleeping through the night. But napping is very, very popular with college students. I know you're going to find that hard to believe. Nobody does. But it's very popular with them. And I get asked about this topic a lot, just out and about. It's a very popular habit or pastime or whatever you want to call it. And there's actually benefits to it. And it's not, if it's kept under a certain time constraint, it's not a bad thing. So I think people will be relieved to hear that.
Well, and I think one of the questions has to be, you know, why do you need the nap? I mean, if you're getting a good night's sleep.
Right.
But obviously with students, you know, up all night studying, things like that sometimes.
Sometimes. Up all night for whatever reason, yes.
I think, and myself, you know, we get to work here, Chuck and I get to work here very, 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 very early in the morning.
Right.
And sometimes the days, you know, don't end until 5 o'clock, so midday.
Yeah.
It can kind of fit right in there.
Yep.
To do it.
Yeah, and this is one of those things. Not everybody needs one. And if you go through your whole day and you never have that lull or drag at all, great. That probably means that person's sleep is good, and maybe they do get to go to bed at an earlier time. Not everybody gets to do that. And so what I find the most interesting on this first handout, which is called The Power of the Nap, it says 85% of mammal species sleep for short periods throughout the day. our typical sleeping pattern with just one long period of sleep, and again, for most of us, that's at night, is an anomaly. It says that pattern actually does not agree with how we are naturally programmed. And below that, they put a time, like a timeline of our day, AM all the way to PM, and it says biologically our bodies are programmed for two periods of intense sleep. One is 2 to 4 AM and the other is one. People that own businesses are going to be like, ah!
But
is 1 to 3 PM. And so, and if you talk to people about when the urge to nap hits them, and again, I typically am talking to my students or maybe workers, and they say it's afternoon, that it's after lunch.
Okay.
And so you do hear, I tend to hear a lot of 2 to 3 o'clock. And so when you look at that, it's like, okay, that makes sense now. And it says the reason you may feel a wave of drowsiness around midday might not be because of the lunch you just ate, but rather because of the tuning of your natural body clock. And so one of these, I'm trying to see where it, okay, it's on the other one, the 5 health benefits of napping. The afternoon siesta. So we have to give a little credit here. It says the Spanish and Italians seem to have been onto something when they first implemented daily siestas in the early afternoon following a big lunch. Many people find it beneficial to eat their biggest meal of the day in the early afternoon, followed by a period of relaxation and a brief nap. I would say a little walk before that would also do a person good if they can do that. But it's just interesting that in those cultures, that's been their approach. And it's definitely smart to have that larger meal midday as opposed to when you do go to try to sleep for an extended period through the night, because we've talked about heartburn and, you know, all sorts of stuff on the show over the years, why a big meal and then trying to go to sleep is not a good idea. So, yeah, this is something, again, they were onto that a long time ago. But again, biologically, it does make sense. Is it possible, feasible, reasonable, whatever for everyone? No. And again, especially, you know, there are workplaces where they just cannot allow that. But it is something, again, I teach during the fall semester, I teach a course on worksite health and productivity management, how to keep employees healthy and productive. And this is one thing that a lot of employers have had to kind of step back and instead of just initially being like, no, that's ridiculous. They're not toddlers or preschoolers. They've had to step back and say, gosh, maybe it would be beneficial for our productivity and morale and everything else if we did allow employees, again, if it was feasible and there was some place quiet and safe for them to go and do that, something that they could allow them to do.
Well, that begs of the next question then. We'll get into more about the benefits health-wise of napping, but you always hear studies about the time frame. How long should a power nap be during the day?
Yeah.
Yes. And I'll tell you this, it is not 4 hours. I had a guy this last semester that was, he was just talking in class and about napping, and it was, his average was 4 hours. And I'm like, dude, that's like half of your, what your nightly sleep is supposed to be. I go, that's not a nap. And so we had a fun discussion about that. But, you know, you typically power nap, you think under 30 minutes. That is leaning back, closing your eyes, you know. And people are so funny. There are people that can doze off like fairly quickly. And again, 15, 20 minutes, they wake up, woo, lightning in my veins, refreshed. I personally, and I haven't had to nap in a long time, but when my kids were little and I wasn't getting sleep through the night, I would be tired and I would go to take a nap, but it took me a good 15 minutes to fall asleep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I always had to kind of hope for a little bit more time. And for me, a good 30, 40 minutes, again, 15 to maybe fall into the sleep and then another 15, 20, 25, whatever to actually sleep.
Yeah, that ranks the 30 minute deal right there.
Yeah, yes, it kind of does.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's very different. But really, this is kind of a very individual thing. Everybody kind of knows what works for them. Again, what doesn't work for them. If I nap over an hour, I feel groggy. I feel more tired than when I tried to nap. So I don't typically do that. Maybe if for some reason I did not get any sleep the night before, you know, I might take a longer one. But that's pretty rare at this point in my life, thankfully. But they say the experts is anywhere from that 5 to 90 minute mark depending on what you need, isn't going to interfere with your nightly sleep. That being said, again, there's a big difference between taking 15 to 30 minutes out of your work day or again, away from your kids or whatever, versus a full, 60 to 90. So,
see, I like to get 30.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty much programmed now to where I just naturally get up after 30 minutes.
Oh, nice.
Okay, and don't even have to set an alarm.
And I can lay down and get into that 30 minutes in about 30 seconds.
Wow. Okay. Sweetness.
There you go.
Yeah.
Narcolepsy.
Just turn on a little gun smoke on TV.
Yes, yes.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
There you go.
I like that approach.
There it is. So Festus puts me to sleep.
Festus. Better than a lullaby.
What about Newly?
Yes.
See, I've always, I don't get my naps consistently, and 30 minutes just hasn't done it for me at all, even when I do get them. But the problem is when I really feel like I need to catch up on my sleep, which is usually a good solid 2 to 2.5 hours, I don't feel any more refreshed than what I did when I went into my nap.
So 30 minutes doesn't work for you?
30 minutes is nowhere close.
Wow.
Would you just wake up tired?
Basically, yeah. It really doesn't matter my sleep schedule. In the morning I wake up tired, when I come out of a nap, either way, I'm still like, get some coffee, and then about maybe within half an hour, then I'm okay.
Yeah.
But it's just that initial, I can't remember the last time when I woke up and like, yeah,
refreshed.
Let me go ahead and tackle the day now.
Well, there was a new study that I just read this morning, and it said, forego your afternoon coffee, your caffeine that you're looking for to get you through the rest of the day. Stick your head in the freezer for a minute.
My goodness.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
They say that will some alertness will reappear.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you can save yourself on some caffeine.
Okie dokie then.
Yeah, well, and it's funny you say that because, another topic that I debated about, because I have some friends that do it, I know some of my students do as well, especially athletes, is the ice baths.
Oh.
Yes, I am reading more and more about it. I have a good friend. She runs Lion Gymnastics downtown. She's been posting about doing these ice baths where you're just submerged in ice cold water, and I am such a wuss because I'm like, that just does not sound appealing to me. But they say that you acclimate to it very quickly, and there are a lot of benefits to it. So that's just interesting, this whole thing with cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're probably going to have to dive into that.
We might have to. I might have to bring her on here with me and be like, okay, well, tell us.
But those ice baths, I mean, you see, your body tends to acclimate fast. One time I was in it, oh, man, it was so cold. I had to get out. I mean, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. So maybe there's some tricks to it, you know.
Could be.
So I will look more into that. In the meantime, Chuck's going to put his head in the freezer midday to try to just. But when you think about that one, think about like January, February here when you go, you step outside and you're like, okay, I'm alert now. So that absolutely makes sense. Again, if someone feasibly has access to a freezer and is willing to do that, so. And we've said the problem with caffeine is then if you have that late in the day, again, people really need to know because everybody's different. But
could be with you during the night.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then you get into a really bad cycle. So,
well, let's talk about the benefits of napping,
yes,
Dr. Jen.
There
the positives.
Are many. And both of these handouts have there's a little bit of overlap, but some of them have some different ones. But we'll start with the one that has the big five at the top because it is focusing mainly on the benefits. But improves your cognitive function, and I think this is actually on both of them. But it says, we know that a certain proportion of our learning capabilities are dependent on sleep, but naps might be able to help with learning and remembering information just as well as, your full night's sleep can. Brief, and they describe that as 60 to 90 minute naps contain both slow wave sleep, SWS, and the REM, rapid eye movement. And they've been found to be both to be very useful for mental performance for up to 24 hours. So the whole cognition and mental performance is a big one. May be beneficial for heart health. Missing sleep can take years off your life, but the good news is napping can help. A recent study conducted by, and it gives the medical school and Harvard, found that people who took naps regularly on average had lower coronary mortality than those who didn't. The researchers defined regular naps as the kind that took place at least three times a week for about 30 minutes at a time.
Okay.
So again, very, very different than the 60 to 90. So for the heart health, it can be those brief naps just multiple times per week. Number three, helping reduce stress and anxiety. Says some research shows that napping can help reduce the stress-related impacts of getting bad or cut off sleep. So for people who, you know, again, kids wake you up, pets, you know, yeah, there's all sorts of things that can cut off our sleep. It says a 2012 study, and it gives the journal that it was published in, found that one of the three stress hormones measured, called noradrenaline, was increased the day after the men were sleep deprived, but it did not happen if they were allowed to take naps. So it can help. And again, like you said, that's why a lot of my college students take naps. They're trying to make up for, you know, a very shortened nights of sleep the night before. So number four, they've known about for quite a while. It says being tired is notorious for leading to increased hunger and food cravings. When the afternoon hits, many people crave chocolate, sweets, soda, or coffee to keep them going and resolve issues associated with unstable blood sugar. So they kind of turn to those things. But if you've got just 10 to 15 minutes, try a brief nap instead. This can ultimately help restore your concentration and willpower and lower your stress hormones that contribute to those cravings. That's valuable information for some people. And they've known for a long time that people that try to get by on or have to get by, you know, on 4 or 5, whatever hours of sleep they crave just anything and everything during the day. And so it really, really affects your food patterns. So again, napping can help offset that. Number five, it says can help improve physical performance. Too tired to hit the gym after work, a brief power nap can help. Studies have found a correlation between short naps and improved athletic abilities, including faster sprint times and better motor reaction. Now, those things matter for actual athletes. But again, for people who do just feel like, oh, I'm just too tired to go to the gym, I don't have enough, you know, fuel in my tank, so to speak, sometimes a quick nap, all of a sudden, boom, they feel like they can go do that. A
lot of benefits.
Lots of them.
Positives.
Yes, very positive. And if people do go ahead and look at the power of the nap one, the one that had the little timeline on it that shows our kind of our biological rhythms, at the bottom there, they make reference to some of these, but they also mention some things like specific to blood pressure, that a nap of 45 minutes lowers blood pressure. Because again, when they study napping, they do study the different intervals, the time intervals. So dementia is a big one. Napping could prevent dementia. People lacking sleep have more deposits of something in their brain, these amyloids in their brain, that are related to Alzheimer's. And again, they've known about the sleep-dementia connection for quite a while. Skin repair, that one was new to me. Napping increases the speed of skin repair. So if you have issues with your skin, sleeping and even napping can help with that. So, and it does mention immunity. Lack of sleep releases the stress and weight hormone cortisol into the body, which weakens our muscular and immune systems. And napping can, again, help combat that. So, there's a lot of different
stuff. I'll tell you, the list just goes on and on. You can see this list in the handouts. Just log on to KVOE.com, click on the on-air tab, and Dr. Jen's in a drop-down tab right there. Click on Dr. Jen, and it'll take you to her page. And all the handouts are right there for you. Mm-hmm. As Dr. Jennifer Thomas, Health and Human Performance Professor, Emporia State, joins us monthly. Now, there are some tips here on making sure your nap is productive.
Yes, that's another really good kind of sidebar on this handout. So to get a beneficial power nap, it says first get comfortable, focus on getting into the most restorative, love that word, restorative position that you can rather than being efficient. That gives you, this gives you the most time in a high quality unconscious state. So get comfortable. One thing in my that worksite health and productivity class, they now sell an ESU years ago. This was pre-COVID. ESU in the Union, we were actually a trial site for one of these nap pods where you go in.
Oh,
and
I remember that, yeah.
Yes, and I know we haven't had it for quite a while, but a lot of workplaces are installing these little nap pods where it's supposed to be the perfect sleep environment in terms of temperature, light, you know, what you're sitting in or laying back in. And then they are kept sanitary, you know, because, I mean, sleep, yeah. So that's been interesting. And that's obviously an investment. You have to have rules, you know, on time and, you know, what you can do in there. But that's just an interesting kind of something that didn't exist years ago, but they've come up with. So, but do what you can to get comfortable. Set the temperature low, but use a blanket. It is easier to fall asleep in a cool area. When you sleep, your metabolism naturally tends to slow and your body gets cooler. You might get chilly, and keeping a blanket handy could help you naturally fall asleep faster and nap more restfully. And that kind of ties in. I did provide just an extra, we don't need to go in depth on it or anything, but I did provide an extra handout called Everything You Need to Know About Weight or Weighted. They're sometimes called weighted blankets.
The weighted blankets, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Those things
and,
are huge.
Okay, yeah. They've become really big the last, especially like five, they've been around a while, but the last 5 years or so, there are a lot of people who absolutely swear by these.
Really?
Yes, yep. For helping them fall asleep and stay asleep.
I'm surprised, too, that it sounds like this is becoming more of an adult thing, because I know several of my kids, not all of them, but several of my kids are like, yes, if I don't have my weighted blanket, then I'm not sleeping well, and I'm bugging you guys at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning as a result. So.
Right. It's a good reason to make sure they have that blanket.
Exactly.
Yes. So, and they're really good. They started out as a therapy for kids with sensory disorders. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the history, and again, it goes into that, is really, really interesting. And then, it became like everybody could benefit from these and enjoy these. You know, even if they don't need them, it might help them. So something to look into. Again, whether you want to nap better or just sleep better at night, they make different weights, and it is somewhat according to your preference, but also according to your body composition. So it does have recommendations in there on you know, which ones to get. But definitely could be something worth looking into. They're made of material, and they're created in a way they're not supposed to make you hot. I know that some people, you know, worry about that because most humans don't sleep well when we're too warm. But it's ideal, like it says, to have a cool environment if you can, whether that's a fan or you just lower your thermostat, and then cover yourself with these blankets. So cuddle up.
Good tips.
Yeah. And then we already went over the whole siesta thing. Yeah. And then it does recommend, unless your body is in a natural rhythm, like Ron mentioned, just automatically waking up, but it does say set a timer. The power nap sweet spot seems to be anywhere from, again, just 5 minutes to about 45. That's, again, the average, depending on your needs. But it's usually not a good idea to go much longer than that because it can interfere, again, with your ability to fall asleep that night. And you don't want to get into that that bad cycle. Yeah. So find that sweet spot. And again, if you're able to do this and it's something that you feel like you would benefit from and need to do, that's just some tips to help you out.
Great tips. And again, log on to KVOE.com and click on the on-air tab. There'll be a drop-down menu. Dr. Jen is there. And boom, you will have all the information live and local right there. Good topic.
Woohoo!
Indeed. I'm still awake.
There you go.
Did
wide awake.
Lulled you to sleep.
That's right. Well, we're looking forward to having you back in the month of July.
Yep. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Crazy.
Yeah, next time you're in here, you'll be gearing up for getting back to school
semester.
Mode, right?
That is right. That's okay. it's a good summer. It's a good, perfect amount of time because by July, I start missing some of them. I start missing them and miss being in the classroom. And by the time they come back in August, I'm always ready. So
I would assume you're probably looking at health and human performance full classes again this semester at ESU.
Ours are beyond full. I have two I have two classes that one I only teach in the fall, and then the one that does laps for Landon, which is marketing. Yeah. I only teach in the spring, and the numbers are getting as such that it's like, oh, these really need to be offered both semesters, but I don't know how we would do that. So, but it's a good problem to have.
Yeah,
ESU, like Chuck was saying on the news segment, you know, trying to work a lot of things out, but there's a lot of good things happening too. And I'm biased, but a lot of good things happening, especially within our program, and that I'm very excited about. The Doc Baxter Human Performance Lab, they are working on that as we speak. And so excited. And so they're making lots of progress on that. It's really going to help our students in terms of what they're going to be able to train for and be able to do. So lots of exciting things happening, too.
Dr. Jen, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to seeing you here again next month.
I'll be here. If anybody has any topic suggestions besides ice baths, well, it might be a good July one. You know,
that's when
it's going to sound the most appealing is July, August.
We'll jump right in then.
Agreed. I like that idea.
But throw them at me if you got any ideas.
All right. Dr. Jennifer Thomas, Health and Human Performance Professor, Emporia State, monthly here on KVLE Live and Local. It's 8:50.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping in Beijing. They aired differences between the U.S. and China, including the Chinese production of fentanyl, which Blinken says is the leading cause of